This is Lovers and Madmen, written by Elapsed Spiral and read by Tipsy Kitty. After the storm came the calm, and despite how dull life at sea could be, Ed's had mostly felt like a montage of maiming, fire, gouging, puking in shit-filled alleyways, more maiming, storms so cold they burned, shitting in puke-filled alleyways, stabbing. The point being, he was ready for it. He was relieved when Steed's apologies finally trailed off into exhausted silence, and he was desperate for the calm to begin. The same couldn't be said for Steed, whose life, he knew, had been completely opposite. The man had spent so long quietly waiting and hoping for the doing to finally start. That, Ed supposed, was why he found himself having his first real disagreement with Steed while they read Shakespeare with their dicks out. Well, his first real disagreement with Steed after the whole Steed abandoning him on a dock and breaking his heart into a million pieces thing, which Ed was over, mostly. They always get hitched at the end, Ed said. Steed snapped the book shut in that officious way he had. Ed's cock gamely tried to take an interest, but he was still too wrung out from the night before. Ah, the night before. Unfortunately, Steed agreed as he returned the book to its proper place on the still somewhat empty bookcase. Ed wished A Midsummer Night's Dream had belonged on a shelf that involved more bending or stretching. Unfortunately, Ed said, isn't it a happy ending? They all had a dance and got married. Can't say I'm a fan of the institution. Yeah, but you had a bad experience. Steed gave him a look which said, that's putting it mildly. I'm just saying, you don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Then again, Steed's marriage wasn't unique in its awfulness. There was his parents' godforsaken marriage, for one, and Steed's parents, for another, and his own to that barmaid in Tortuga, though the priest had probably been a fraud since he'd agreed to marry two people 3 sheets to the wind. I'd happily throw out the bath as well, Steed said. But you're such a romantic. Guilty as charged, but marriage isn't. It's very staid. Staid what? Staid where? No, staid. It means boring, unadventurous, not piratey. Steed frowned at Ed's dubious look. You've surely never married. Probably not. Never gotten matey with anyone either. Steed looked offended. We're matey, aren't we? I mean the French thing. What French thing? Matey, what's it? Pirate marriage. Judging by his blank look, Steed's books had glossed over that. Pirates marry differently to the rest of the population? Ed snorted. I'd say so, yeah. I didn't think they were the marrying kind. It's usually more of a financial arrangement, but sure, they marry. Must be quite rare. Not that rare. I mean, I haven't encountered many female pirates, Steed said. Yeah, and? Who are all these pirates marrying, then? Ed let Steed get there in his own time. Oh. Steed's eyes grew comically wide. Wow. That unstained enough for you? Stayed. Steed's expression shifted rapidly from curious to pinched. Be that as it may, I've learned my lesson. And what lesson's that? Don't make the same mistake twice. I won't be leaving your side again, not for the world. And I won't be remarrying. I'm lucky to have a fresh start, and I'm not about to mess it up. I'm sticking to what I'm good at this time around. Ed remembered Steed's gallant but terrible effort at tying knots the day before.
Right.
Everything okay? Steed smiled as he sat on the bed beside him. I've not sent you to sleep with all this marriage talk, have I? Ed wanted to protest, but it was hard with Steed stroking his hand idly up and down his back.
Nah, all good, he said.
He said,
nah, all good.
But an idea was now firmly sown in his brain. Perhaps Steed didn't want to make the same mistake twice, but Ed made it his life's work to fuck up as many times and in as many different ways as possible. Perhaps Steed thought marriage was uncool or whatever, but to Ed, marriage sounded like sinking into a warm bath after a relentlessly shitty day. Ed said,
nah, all good.
But what he meant was, God is his witness, he was going to marry the shit out of Steed Bonnet. His first attempt at getting hitched took place on a merchant ship, knee-deep in a raid. The ship's crew had briefly resisted before recognizing the top half of Ed's face and promptly cacking themselves. After that, he'd had the run of the place and began digging through crates for anything worth fencing. He found clothes and books and God knew what else before hitting the jackpot, a case of rings inlaid with jewels. Grinning, he tipped it upside down and let them go skittering across the floor. Ah, shit, he huffed dramatically. Steed! As always, Steed practically sprinted to him. What's wrong? Are you all right? Steed looked down at the mess of jewelry. What happened?
Butterfingers here.
I'd pick them up, but with my knee. Say no more. Steed crouched. They don't look especially valuable. I think they're gold-plated.
Maybe these ones are, but I saw one that looked fancy as fuck.
Where? That one. He pointed to a ring that had become wedged between the floorboards. Steed got on his knees to pluck it free. There we are. He held it up with a smile and a flourish. Rather nice, though still just plated, I think.
I do, Ed said.
What?
Yeah, go on then.
Ed, what are you talking about?
You're down on your knees holding a ring.
Steed laughed cheerily. One knee is customary for that. Ed manhandled him.
There, now you're on one. I do. Are we taking your name or mine? Maybe we could combine them and be Mr. and Mr. Beach, though that kind of sounds like bitch with a French accent.
Steed stared at him for a moment before slapping Ed on the back and laughing some more. Can you imagine? Taking a break from all the looting and swashbuckling to write our wedding invitations? Come on, I saw some beautiful silk down this way. And with that, Steed was striding away. So, Steed wasn't going to take this lying down. Or crouching. Nothing was ever easy when it came to Steed, Ed thought moodily. It was somehow always the biggest headfuck of his life while simultaneously being as effortless as breathing. Ignoring how his knee popped, he snatched his other favorite ring from the floor, then went to check out whatever had gotten Steed so giddy. His next attempt at getting married came on shore leave. The crew were off doing whatever it was crews did with their free time. Making bad choices? Exacting revenge? Going shopping? And Ed was figuring out what it was he liked to do now he was beard-free and reputation-light. He didn't feel like drinking, and nature was still too bitey for his liking. So he did what came naturally and followed Steed like a stray dog. Perhaps he did it for the company, or to make sure no one tried anything funny with Steed. Maybe it was so he could walk a few paces behind him and watch Steed's arse in his newest pair of slightly too snug trousers. Realistically, it was all three. Steed was doing an okay job of avoiding obvious scams in the dock's ramshackle market, so Ed mostly let himself zone out and caught more looks, until he registered someone in the crowd. There. The bloke stood out like a sore thumb thanks to his punishingly warm woolen clothes. If you weren't trying to look cool as fuck, there was only one reason to dress so unseasonably in the Caribbean sun, because you thought a magic lady in the clouds would be impressed with your pain and suffering. Bingo.
Wow, look at that stall over there, Ed said.
Steed followed his gaze. Which one?
That one. Wait, nope, the one after it,
he said, as the damn priest decided to sidle further away.
The one with the flowy fabrics. Yep, that one. Wow.
Ed maneuvered Steed until they were practically shoulder to shoulder with the sweaty priest.
What do you think of this one?
Ed said, plucking the edge of some wispy white fabric with delicate embroidered flowers. Quite lovely, but not really on our shopping list.
Will you like it?
Yes?
Try again.
What?
Do you like it?
Yes.
Try again,
Ed ground out. Do you like it?
I do? I do too, Ed barked at the priest.
The man gave them a fearful look before scurrying away.
What was that all about? Steed said.
Ed scowled.
Seriously?
Did you know that man?
Excuse me, the stall holder said.
I can't even tell if you're playing dumb or if you really are clueless. Ed said.
Clueless about what?
Excuse me, the stallholder said.
What do you think? Ed insisted.
Excuse me.
What?
What? We operate a strict you grope it, you bought it policy and... Ed looked down. He was stroking the bolt of fabric like a cat.
Oh, fuck.
Guess you're getting it after all, Steed said as he pulled out his purse. Wonder what we could use it for. Curtains, perhaps. Ed let his finger trace one tiny flower. His smile grew as an idea came to him, far too readily.
I'll figure something out.
In the end, it was becalming which provided Ed with his best and last opportunity for getting hitched. The crew were bored witless, and had already exhausted classic becalming pastimes such as intentionally breaking things, singing, swearing, climbing things, accidentally breaking things, I spy, giving one another regrettable tattoos, and having regrettable hookups. Worse still, the crew were now looking to their captains for inspiration, which Ed, slumped against the mast, wasn't sure he could provide. Not that he was convinced he was captain, either. He wasn't sure he was nowadays. They hadn't really clarified that after the whole abandonment thing. It was better that way, he thought, and drew less ire from them all. He was a source of amusement, and that was fine. He constantly confused himself, so he couldn't expect anything different from anybody else. "We could try doing some arts and crafts," Steed said, to vaguely mutinous looks.
"Or an orgy," Ed said.
"It's too hot for an orgy," the huge guy said, sounding disappointed.
"How about we split the difference?"
"An orgy where we do arts and crafts?" Lucius grimaced.
"No, like..."
Ed hadn't thought that far ahead, but being a tactical mastermind, he knew how to improvise.
"But what about like in Shakespeare?" "The heat's gotten to him,"
one of the crew muttered to another one of the crew. Ed really needed to learn their names.
"How do you mean?"
Steed said, in a supportive, if bewildered, tone.
"Like in the one where the woman fucks the ass, the one we just read." "I didn't know Shakespeare was that kinky,"
Frenchie muttered to the cook.
"Not like that,"
Ed said, to disappointed looks from the crew. "Ask the animal, not the body part."
"Bloody hell, Bill," Frenchie said.
"She doesn't do anything like that with the animal either," Steed said. "There's no sex in A Midsummer Night's Dream."
"It's implied,"
Ed said.
"Is it?"
"Yeah, plus her husband fucks that other fella, the fairy who's stirring shit up."
"Cap, can you read us A Midsummer Night's Dream next?"
someone said.
"I can, but I must stress, none of that happens."
"It should have,"
Ed said.
"But what I'm saying is they have a party in the moonlight. They frolic and shit."
Bird Guy brightened.
"In the moonlight, you say?" "It'll be cooler at night, like, temperature-wise, and everyone will look hotter."
"I thought this wasn't an orgy," Steed said.
"Strictly frolicking. Cavorting only."
The crew were already chattering excitedly amongst themselves. It was a done deal. Ed shot Steed a triumphant look.
"So what you're saying is we should have a rager under the full moon tonight," Lucius said.
"Exactly. Music, drinking, dancing."
"Ass-fucking," Frenchie helpfully added.
"We don't have an ass," the big one said. "We could dress up."
"No animal costumes," Steed pleaded. "And we should only do this if we have enough provisions. We're not going anywhere fast."
The cook shrugged.
"Should be fine. If it isn't, we can just eat one another."
Bird Guy looked delighted.
"But it sounds fun, right?"
Ed egged them on.
"It'll help us cool down. Take our minds off."
"How we haven't moved in a week,"
Jim said. "Not that I'm counting."
"Well, I suppose it's better than doing another stock take," Steed sighed. "Everyone in favor, raise your hand." The deck was a forest of hands. Bird Guy raised both, while Izzy raised neither.
"You can do another stock take, Iz," Ed said.
"Fan-fucking-tastic."
"Everyone else go and prepare,"
Ed commanded.
"You can't have a moonlight frolic without preparation. Get your glad rags on. Practice some tunes. Get the nibbles ready."
And with that, the crew were off, with more energy and enthusiasm than they'd shown in days. For all his having come up with the idea, Ed was clueless what he was going to wear to their vaguely pagan disco. He followed Steed back to their cabin, where Steed made a beeline for his primary wardrobe.
"You're welcome to pick something out, of course,"
Steed called from within, already neck deep in shirts.
"Thanks."
Ed let his eyes rove over the sumptuous fabrics. He looked at the embroidered flowers on one of Steed's jackets, and was struck with an idea that made him feel half giddy, half sick.
"I think I'm all right, actually."
Steed poked his head out. "Oh, what are you planning to wear?"
"Nothing."
"I think clothes should be mandatory, or we'll never convince Buttons to dress again."
"I just mean it's bad luck to see one another before the big day. Night."
That's weddings, isn't it? Ed suppressed a smile as he grabbed the pilfered rings from their hiding place and shoved them into a pocket.
Right, yeah.
He let himself into the auxiliary wardrobe and found the bolt of white fabric. Positioned in front of the mirror, he began unfurling it and draping it over his shoulders, like a sash or a toga or something. His smile grew.
You're fucking getting married, bro, he whispered to his wide-eyed reflection. This is happening.
What was that?
Steve called from the other wardrobe.
Nothing.
I thought I heard you say something.
Must have been the wind.
We're becalmed.
Oh yeah, weird. Anyway.
Grinning like a madman, Ed yanked his knife from its sheath and began jaggedly cutting the first length of fabric. Hours later, Steed came back and knocked on the door.
Ed, are you still in here?
Bit rich coming from the man who took an hour to get ready each morning, minimum. Ed gave himself one last look in the mirror. He adjusted the little fabric flowers he'd dotted in his hair and gave the bow around his waist a tug. Wouldn't do to have everything coming undone mid-frolic.
Yeah, still in here,
he said as he gave his reflection a weird little smile. It wasn't quite approving, but more like,
yeah, we're doing this, eh? This is what we're doing.
Besides, it wasn't the weirdest thing he'd ever done. It wasn't the normalest, either.
Roach has laid out quite the spread, and Frenchie's all tuned up, so we're ready whenever you...
Ed opened the door. Steed had gone all out, too. He had layered silk upon cashmere upon whatever other priceless fabrics, all in different textures and in shades of subtle pink. He looked good in pink. Ed had told him as much once, and Steed had taken the comment to heart. Steed gawped. Ed thought about offering some explanation, about how it was sort of Midsummer Night's Dreamy, maybe, but he thought better of it. Instead, he straightened his shoulders and let Steed drink his fill of him.
Oh, heavens. Steed whispered.
That felt about right. It was a pretty heavenly look. He gave Steed's arm a reassuring pat.
You're not going to pass out, are you?
Hard to say. Steed dropped to his knees. Both knees, damn it. Ed couldn't stay mad given the adoring, wide-eyed look on his face. He felt flustered and ridiculous and powerful, but not mad.
Look at you, Steed said softly. Look at you. Don't go creasing your trousers.
They'll survive. Steed pressed a kiss to one glove-free hand, then the other. To one fabric-draped leg, then the other. Ed pet Steed's hair.
Aren't we supposed to be doing something?
He sort of hoped not. He'd happily stay there, maybe forever. I think we are. Can't remember what. The spell was broken by a song striking up outside. Oh, that was it. Steed sighed against Ed's thigh.
Oh, yeah,
Ed agreed.
Time to cavort.
They danced. They drank. And Ed did as much hand stuff with Steed as he could get away with without the crew throwing him overboard. The pair of rings practically burned a hole in his side as they taunted him. But finding words was hard. Harder still when the crew broke out the good booze. As always, Steed was to blame in the end. His brow knit as his roving hand grazed the bump on Ed's hip. What's that? He said. Ed regretted his lack of pockets and pants, though the breeze was nice.
Steed,
he said wearily.
Feels like rings?
The man had some nerve. It was easier telling him as much after so much sherry.
You got some fucking nerve, mate.
What do you mean?
I got flowers in my hair, a pair of rings, and I'm wearing a fucking dress.
You look lovely, Steed agreed, pulling him closer. Reluctantly, Ed pushed him back so he could meet his equally drunk gaze.
Are you really this stupid?
Steed grimaced with apparent embarrassment.
Of course not. I know. You went to marry me. I know that.
It took all of Ed's restraint not to shake the bastard.
Then why the fuck are you acting so clueless? Why are you saying shit about marriage being understated?
Stayed, not
Steed.
He was this close to simply pulling his gun.
Because why would you? What?
Me, Steed said deliriously.
Why would you marry me?
I've proved that I'm terrible at it. Why would you nail your colors to a mass like mine?
I'd rather you did the nailing,
You know what I mean.
Ed took Steed's face in his hands, teeth bared. Steed.
Steed looked suitably pathetic.
Edward? Stop asking such stupid fucking questions.
But do not ask me such stupid shitting questions. Why would I want to fucking marry you? Are you fucking kidding me? Who the shit else am I gonna fucking marry? There's only one way this goes from here on out, and it's fucking me with fucking you. It's fucking you and fucking me, and we fucking marry, and that's fucking final.
The music had stopped. The crew had fallen silent.
Well, fuck it.
Steve placed his hands over Ed's as he apparently processed his words.
Well, Ed snapped.
That's the nicest, sweariest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Right.
Thank you.
Don't fucking thank me. Please, Steed. Please marry me before I do something I regret.
Like shoot something. Or cry. Cry was more likely.
Possibly cry while shooting something.
But wouldn't we need a priest?
Ed laughed with relief.
Thank fuck.
Nah, first mate marries the captain.
He is. Hayes looked up from decidedly not frolicking about the deck.
Not on your fucking life.
Bird guy?
I would, but I fear I'd be unintelligible through my tears of joy, Cap'ns.
Unexpected, but all right.
Anyone?
Ed said, shooting the crew desperate looks. Olawande was shoved forward by the others like a sacrificial lamb.
Fucking hell, all right.
Olawande put his hands up in defeat. Ed faced him, arm looped tightly through Steed's.
Okay, Olawande said.
I guess we're gathered here today to...
Cavort,
Ed supplied.
Get to the point, quickly.
All right, Cap. That one, Frenchie offered, helpfully pointing at Steed, who was now even pinker than his suit.
That one, Olawande agreed.
You want to marry this guy?
Steed turned to beam at Ed.
Yes, I think so.
Ed shoved the ring on his finger before he could change his mind.
Great. Ed, what do you reckon?
I mean, you had the rings in your pants, man.
Yeah, figure I do.
Steed slid the other ring home with a shaking hand.
I declare you...
Olawande blew out his breath.
I don't know, whatever the fuck this is.
Kiss and get it over with. True to his word, Bird Guy was bawling. Ed barely had time to look at Steed before he was being dipped and snogged impressively hard. The crew applauded, cheered, sobbed, and groaned with embarrassment.
You really want to marry me? Steed said breathlessly when they resurfaced.
Mate, did you black out? We just got married.
We just got married, Steed repeated, dazed.
Wow.
You remember what comes after the ceremony, don't you?
Ed said, grabbing a handful of Steed's arse. Steed's eyes flew open.
Right, yes.
Right, and I think it's customary to...
It wasn't graceful, and, judging by the noise he made, Steed definitely pulled something in his back, but sure enough, like the single-minded man he was, Steed got Ed in his arms. He strode toward their cabin to a chorus of polite clapping, wolf whistles, and cringing from the crew.
Have you been practicing this? Ed asked as he shoved the door closed behind them.
The question came out more whimpered than he'd hoped.
Not really. You're just lighter than you look.
And I'm stronger than you think.
I don't know. I've had some pretty graphic daydreams.
No pressure, then. Steed half-lowered, half-dropped Ed onto the bed. Rather than break, it decided to simply groan in protest, sounding a bit like Jim just now, or the cook, or...
Now wasn't the time to be thinking about those guys.
Now was the time for thinking about how Steed was pulling off his clothes with brutal efficiency, until he was stood, all hairy chest, strong thighs, and very pleased to see Ed. Belatedly, Ed realized he should be undressing too, but Steed held up a halting hand.
What was it about Steed telling him to stop?
What was it about Steed telling him to do anything, for that matter?
I'll do that, thank you, Steed said.
Ed made a sound like an embarrassed, horny kettle as Steed clambered on top of him and began unraveling his dress.
I'm your husband, after all, Steed said under his breath.
It's my duty. It's in the vows.
There are vows?
Well, there's usually vows.
I wasn't listening to the words.
Ed admitted as Steed ran his hands over his now bare chest.
I was too busy looking at you.
Steed flushed.
There's some stuff in there about taking care of one another.
I like the sound of that, Ed said. You gonna take care of me?
Anything for my husband.
Wife.
Ed tried to suppress a shiver of embarrassment. Steed kept looking at him with the same knowing, hungry smile. Of course, I misspoke. Let me make it up to my beautiful wife. Ed was back to his horny kettle impression. Steed yanked the last of the billowing fabric free and deposited it on the floor in a big poofy cloud, before positioning himself between Ed's eagerly spread legs and rocking against him. Ed stroked his hands encouragingly down Steed's back as the man kissed along his neck, his shoulders, his jaw.
That's great, Ed said, and it was.
His painfully hard cock agreed.
But I want you and me at some point, preferably yesterday.
Understood, Steed said, as he reached blindly for the oil. Maybe they fucked too much, Ed mused, given how effortlessly he found it, how easily he opened him up, how rapidly Ed lost the ability to string words, make words, words. They fucked a lot.
Husband, please.
Ed did the thing where he made his eyes about 3 sizes bigger. Steed couldn't handle it when he did that, he knew. It worked. Steed sank home and Ed gathered him in his arms, half groaning, half sobbing with relief.
Is it better?
Ed gasped as Steed began moving in that way that threatened to snap either Ed, or the bed, or both, in two.
What?
Steed groaned.
Is it better this time?
It's always good.
No, you don't.
Ed interrupted himself with a sob. The music outside got noticeably louder. Sorry, crew.
Tell me,
Steed insisted.
Tell me. Marriage. Is it better? Am I doing it right? Am I good for you?
Steed's pupils were blown when he looked at Ed.
You're perfect for me. Show me. Show me I'm perfect.
Steed pressed closer, and Ed thought he might die. Too much. Too hot and heavy and close and perfect. He couldn't get a hand on his cock if he tried. His brain had given up telling his body what to do. That was Steed's job now, apparently. And he was driving him insane with it. Too hard and fast and... Steed held him tight as he came with a shocked gasp. Steed always sounded so surprised about it. Maybe it was how perfect it always was.
Maybe Ed just had an amazing arsehole. Ed liked to think it was both.
Ed was quick to follow, going from tensed and thrumming to squiggly and sluggish in seconds.
Fucking hell,
Ed declared when he'd located his brain and tongue. Steed was still draped on top of him and breathing like he'd run a race.
Thank you, husband.
You're welcome, wife. Ed smiled and stroked his hair.
It's just like in Shakespeare.
Steed propped himself up enough to look at him.
Is it?
I really don't remember the part where they fucked each other's brains out. If Ed had been a younger man, hearing Steed swear would have been enough to get him ready for round two. He settled for giving Steed an approving pat on the arse.
I told you it's implied.
And besides, that's not what I meant.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
And how is this like Shakespeare, exactly? Because there's dancing, and they're always happy and married at the end, aren't they? The end.
Even though I met you only recently, I find myself falling in love with you. I don't know quite how to put this decently, but what's the chance that you can love me too? Made my world seem new. can't wait to go to sleep and dream again. Cause every dream I dream's a dream of dreamy little you. Has made my dreams come true and turned my gray sky blue. Why it's you. Love.